I would. All right. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias was ruler of Abilene. And when Annas and Caiaphas were the high priests, God sent John. Luke begins this part of the gospel with a kind of history. And he names all of the great people who were in charge at the time that John was alive. In so many ways, those names, Herod, Tiberius, Philip, and Lysanias, define everything that you might want to think about that society in terms of economics, power, politics, and in many ways, even truth. They are the stars. But Luke wants us to see something changing. There's this incredible radical shift that Luke pulls on us, that we've heard this story so many times that maybe we don't hear it, from this panoply of stars, this wonderful roster of all the people that everyone should know. He says, and God sent John the Baptist, John, the son of Zechariah, to bring a word and proclaim a baptism. It's this radical shift from the centers of power and politics to a simple, itinerant preacher. Even in our first lesson, I don't know how much you paid attention in that first lesson, but, you know, in Malachi, the prophet says, look, I'm sending a messenger to prepare the way. And he's going to do all of these things. It's going to be like a fuller's fire and a refiner's soap. It's going to be like the most, everything is going to change and you all are going to get better by God. And you'd better. But that's not who is sent. Instead, God chooses John, son of Zechariah, a nobody among nobodies. And when God chooses John for this task, our focus and the focus of the reader changes in a radical way. God chooses a nobody to announce God's big plan. One of the commentators wrote, God chose a nobody to prepare the way for God's own son to come amongst us. And do you notice that even though we have the names of all of those people, of the emperor and the governor and all of those wonderful, the high priest, Caiaphas and Annas, they are not the ones God chooses to bring this message. They were all there, Luke points out, but God chose John. A radical shift. Well, what Luke seems to be getting us ready for is yet another radical shift. Because not only does God choose John, this nobody, a PK, just a normal, ordinary guy, to bring this word of hope that indeed God is doing something different in the world. When God sends God's son, who is it? Is he an emperor? Is he a governor? Is he particularly noticeable? He's a nobody. Again. So John, walking around in his sackcloth and ashes and eating bugs, a nobody, announces the advent of a nobody. Not an army, not what was certainly Malachi expected, not what everyone expected, this person to come in and change everything and to destroy the Romans, or even maybe be super religious and help us all follow the rules just a little bit better and interpret the law in a way that will in fact reinforce everything that we already know to be true. Instead, God sends Jesus, a nobody. A boy born to a poor woman no one had ever heard of, in a backwater town that nobody particularly wanted to visit. Even his father was just a tradesman. That's who God chose. That's who God sent. A nobody. 2,000 years later, I think God is still choosing nobodies. I really do. We live in a society that is so focused on fame and wealth and power. Have you ever watched Entertainment Tonight? Just for fun, just one time. Think of it like indulging in chocolate cake. Just watch Entertainment Tonight and see what the world is fascinated by. Isn't it astonishing that we have people who are famous just for being famous? They haven't done anything or made anything. They can't sing, dance, or anything else, but they can strike a pose. Be famous. I want that job. I mean, wouldn't it be awesome to be, for the whole world to pay you lots of money just to be famous? I got to practice my pouty look. We love power and we love fame and we love all of that stuff. And in fact, even when we don't want to, we look up to people who are in positions of power, whether they deserve it or not. We adore it. But it is not those people who are being called every day to prepare the word, the way of the Lord. As I got ready for today, I got to thinking, so who are the people that I admire most other than Elton John? Obviously. Every single person on my list is a nobody. I think of Mother Teresa, who we all sort of now think of as someone terribly famous, and I guess they've even made a movie about her now. But she was a poor nobody nun who simply felt compelled by God to serve those no one else would serve. To prepare the way of the Lord among the poorest of the poor and the outcasts. I think of Mahatma Gandhi, who we all think of as a very famous person, who started out as a wizened little guy out in the middle of nowhere, walking around in what Americans would call his underwear, bringing wisdom. He was a nobody who God sent to change the world. I think of another nobody in part of our American history. I think of Rosa Parks. Just a woman who, infected with this deep desire for change, simply said, no, I will not walk to the back of the bus. Before that day, no one had ever heard of Rosa Parks. A nobody who I believe in my heart that God sent to prepare the way. I think of Malali, a very young woman who decided that, in fact, girls all around the world should be educated, and if religious people don't like it, tough. And she scared them so badly that they boarded her school bus and shot her in the head. Before that day, most of the world had never heard of her. But God used her to prepare the way of the Lord. So I wonder, who is God using these days to prepare the way of the Lord? We certainly see enough of them on television, and we pine to become famous and big, and every once in a while when people in the congregation are feeling a little sorry for themselves, they say, you know, we should really be bigger, and we should be more visible, and more people should know about us, and probably all of that is true. But there's something about being a nobody, quietly doing the work to which we have been called to bring justice and peace, that center of God's being to the world through word and sacrament and music. And you, each one of you, who is God calling in this time to prepare the way of the Lord? I hate to say it. But it's you. It's Jim Cartwright. We have called you out. You are the one who God is calling. And Greg and Fritz and Carol and every one of you, you are the nobodies. No offense, if you happen to be a famous person, then I don't know about that. But you are the ones God calls to prepare the way of the Lord. In moments of mercy, in acts of kindness, in encouraging words, and maybe even when the mood strikes you and when the spirit pulls you to do amazing things like, no, I will not go to the back of the bus, or no, I will absolutely insist that my neighbor not be treated this way. Or maybe God will call you in one bold moment to stand up when you see racism or bullying or some other act that destroys God's kingdom, but it will not be a hero or a famous person. Not even Elton John is going to prepare the way like you will. And so these days, in the last year of the presidency of Barack Obama, you are called. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make God's paths straight. Fill valleys. Make mountains and hills low, and crooked ways straight. For God has called a nobody to prepare the way of the Lord.